your nursing specialty personality fit, giving kudos to local workplace wellness, getting patients more telemedicine access, and we'll catch up with two diabetes advocates and educators about new diabetes management technologies out there to help patients with type 1 diabetes. If that's what you're looking for, you found it. It's The Nursing Show. Well, good day and welcome to this week's episode of The Nursing Show, the podcast for nurses by nurses. I'm your host, Jamie Davis, and I'd like to take this opportunity to welcome you and thank you for checking out this week's program. First up in this week's news items, we're going to be looking at how your fit into your perfect nursing specialty might be related to your personality. Then in this week's special tip segment, I bring you a look at a new technology that hopes to revolutionize the way that diabetic patients who are insulin dependent manage their disease on a daily and hourly basis. I got the chance to sit down and interview patient advocate Carrie Sparling and diabetes researcher Dr. Corey Hood about some new developments in diabetes technology. We'll have that and more later on in this episode coming up after the news. Before we get to the news, though, I do want to thank you and make sure that you are following up on the information you get from this episode. And of course, you can do that by heading over to nursingshow.com. Check out the links over there for each episode. There are also other articles and links to other things like Nursing Show, mobile app links, student nurse tips, whatever you're looking for. You can find a lot of information over there, so check it out. But make sure you're following up on what I talk about on the show each week and understand how it applies to your own nursing scope of practice. If you want to get back in touch with me, I hope you'll do so. Please drop me an email. You can send those emails in to me here to nursingshow@gmail.com. I love to hear from you, and I make sure I respond back to every email that comes in. So send me all kinds of stuff. Send me links to news items you'd like me to cover. Maybe you have a question or a suggestion from an episode. Maybe you want to comment on an episode. Whatever the case may be, please keep them coming. That's it. I'll have some more contact information and social media contacts later on in this episode, but let's go ahead and get on into this week's news items that's coming up next. First off, in the news for nurses this week, let's take a look at an article I found on how your personality makes you a better fit for certain nursing specialties than others. The article at Medscape.com looks at the types of personalities that are drawn to different nursing specialties. Now, the authors of the study cited in the article hope to avoid spending valuable time training nurses for an area or job they might be ill-suited to stay in or succeed in. Now, they reviewed studies on nurses and personality from 1965 forward and found 13 different studies that fit what they were looking for. They had small sample sizes, but they were able to make some generalized interpretation based on specialty and personality. Some specializations, like oncology or emergency nursing, were more likely to exhibit introverted, task-oriented traits. Critical care nurses were more likely to be dominant and rebellious. Oncology and palliative nurses craved working alongside others, perhaps, to seek emotional support in dealing with the tough issues surrounding end of life. The authors do caution that their findings are very generalized and that workplaces and businesses should not prohibit nurses from working in certain areas simply because of a general personality trait. But this study and others going forward may help you and other nurses choose specialties to which you might be better suited. This could lead to better job satisfaction and less job-related stress. I think this is also a call for more widespread personality testing among nurses and nursing students, again for personal edification and understanding. You know, it's important to know your own strengths and your own weaknesses so you can better see your blind spots in patient care. So how many of you out there have taken a personality test and know your basic personality traits? Let me know if you think this might be helpful to you in your life and career. I look forward to hearing from you. Next up in the news for nurses this week is a look at a new workplace wellness initiative being put forward in Louisiana called Well Ahead Louisiana to help make the state healthier. Workplaces that meet the standards of the Well Ahead program would be designated as well spots and receive local recognition. Now, this could help these businesses attract a better workforce and also more business. This is part of the state's attempt to dig itself out of the bottom of the pile in other states with chronic illness, obesity, and unhealthy behaviors. The state public health officials, including public health nurses, have enlisted the aid of hospitals and health systems, as well as places like restaurants, schools, even daycare programs. The local recognition also helps the business. Restaurants that achieve a level of healthy menu items can be listed as well spots for eating and help them drive business to their doors. One restaurateur said that they opened the doors to focus on healthier food choices, and the well spot designation has definitely influenced patrons to come and get healthy food that tastes great. I think other states could probably look at this initiative and maybe help drive change in their own local regions to create a healthier population. You know, these types of workplace and community initiatives are perfect for being administered by nurses in and out of the public health arena. Creating programs could also be a great way to develop a nurse entrepreneur's business to consult with public health or businesses and put these programs in place. Check out the whole article I've linked here and the whole Louisiana initiative at wellaheadla.com. Finally, as we wrap up the nursing news this week, let's look at a recent survey on patients and their interest level in telemedicine programs. A Texas software company called Software Advice conducted the survey of patients and found that 75% of them want more access to telemedicine programs to connect them to health advice and services. Software Advice is a company that makes electronic health records and software. They surveyed over 500 people about their health technology preferences and what they wanted from it. Most patients had never participated in a telemedicine healthcare visit, but were interested in using such services like teleconferencing with a healthcare provider to get some initial care. 71% of the people would prefer seeking care for minor health problems in an online environment rather than going to the ER or the doctor's office. Now, this could result in a huge savings overall, since the average ER visit in the U.S. costs over $2,000, while an online telemedicine consultation could cost as little as $40. The reasons for the preference to using online healthcare services were that patients felt they would get a similar quality of care and they wouldn't have to travel to the hospital or maybe wait in a waiting room. They could just stay at home. Almost 70% said they thought that using more telemedical services would actually improve their healthcare experience. Some people in the study were uncomfortable, though, with using this type of technology and would prefer an in-person face-to-face visit. So the local ER and the urgent care clinics are not going to go away anytime soon. But this survey does point out that some public perceptions could lead to further experimentation and study in this area. I hope my own health insurance is doing this. I know they've got their own telemedicine service for minor problems for a small copay that was just added this year. It'll be interesting to see if that program sticks around and what it does moving forward. You know, diabetes is a demanding disease that requires day-to-day and hour-by-hour management. Now there's a new integrated technology to help millions of Americans living with insulin-dependent diabetes manage their disease. I got the opportunity to interview patient blogger and diabetes advocate Carrie Sparling and diabetes researcher Dr. Corey Hood about new continuous glucose monitoring technology and insulin pumps that can change the lives of patients living with this illness. So here it is. Check it out. Great to have you both here on the show. This is for the Nursing Show, which is a program for nurses by nurses. And we're really, I think, a fantastic topic to talk about today is diabetes and insulin management. So thanks very much for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
So I guess we'll talk first with you, Dr. Corey. What's going on right now? And there's so many new developments all the time with diabetes management and especially with things like insulin pumps. What are some of the new innovations that are going on right now with diabetes patients?
Sure. And your audience is, you know, going to be particularly interested in this. I mean, much of diabetes care and management from the clinician side happens by nurses and diabetes educators. So these are really the frontline individuals that are taking care of many of the millions of patients with diabetes. And so when we think about some of the new devices and technologies, we're hoping that they have both health and quality of life benefits. And when I think about quality of life, it's potentially reducing some burden making it a little bit easier and also achieving some glucose levels that are maybe safer for the individual. And from a health outcomes perspective, we're always interested in optimizing the management of the individual with diabetes. And the system that's recently been released is the Animas Vibe system. And with it, you have a continuous glucose monitoring enabled insulin pump. And so, you know, really those two foundational pieces of diabetes management between insulin delivery and knowing what the blood sugar is are really now married together and offer a really nice tool that, that hopefully gets at many of these health and quality of life outcomes that we're interested in.
Yeah, Kerry, I'm excited to have you here on the show as well, because I often hold up your patient blog, Six Until Me, as an example of really a great opportunity for people to learn about living with diseases like diabetes. And so what does this mean for somebody like you who's lived with diabetes for a long time?
Oh, well, thanks for pimping out my blog. I appreciate that. I'll do a little thank you there. So I mean, Corey can speak to the clinical benefits and site studies and that sort of thing. And I can't offer you any medical perspective. I can just offer you my personal patient perspective. And that is that it's that wearing the Animas Vibe system, taking my insulin pump and the continuous glucose monitor that I was already wearing and sticking them into the same device is huge for my quality of life, because it becomes one less thing. And diabetes always seems about one more thing, like one more blood sugar check or one more insulin dose or one more carb calculation or one more doctor's appointment. The list kind of goes on and on, so to reduce my list of things that I have to worry about by one is a significant number. And it just kind of improves my overall quality of life, like Corey had talked about. It makes it less about living with diabetes and more just living.
That's so important, and it's one of the reasons I like your perspective on things, because when you can point a patient to someone else who's, whether it's in a support group or through a blog or an online resource that's living with an illness, it really helps give them the idea that they can continue living their life.
Yeah, that Me Too philosophy goes a really long way.
So, Dr. Corey, what does it mean when we talk about continuous glucose monitoring and insulin pump in the same device? Is this used to be two separate devices, or someone would have an insulin pump and still have to do finger sticks, but now we have all of it contained in one thing?
Yeah, I think that I'll start with a couple of pieces. You know, one is thinking specifically about continuous glucose monitoring, and this is, you know, relatively new in the landscape of diabetes, relatively new technology. And I think about it and talk about it with my patients from the perspective of it's kind of like GPS for your blood sugar. And so you have some sense of where you're at, you know, where you've been, where you're going, and how quickly you're going to get there. So it gives you this, instead of a single, snapshot of what your blood sugar is, it gives you a much bigger picture of what's going on. And with that, it allows the individual to prevent some of the very serious lows and highs that we're also worried about. But it also allows them to be a little bit more flexible and to plan out different physical activity, whether you're going to eat at a certain time or not. And so from that perspective, it offers, you know, CGM is really a nice tool. And what they've done with the Animas Vibe system is taken that, put it into a well-established, reliable insulin delivery system. And while it's not the first one on the market, it's the first one on the market that includes the Dexcom system. And so you now have an integrated piece, and as Kerry was mentioning, it allows the person who's using it one less device, hopefully a few less things to worry about. And so that's why we think this is such a great tool.
Kerry, from your perspective, and I know you can't give any medical opinions or anything like that, but from your perspective as a patient, which I think is hugely important, what has this done for you to, in your overall perspective of keeping track of diabetes in your life and living day to day?
I'm trying to think about how to concisely answer that. It's using technology is a benefit that I'm and an option that I'm grateful to have, because when I was diagnosed in 1986, the way that I checked my blood sugar was to pee in a test tube and drop one of those little, like it looked like those Paws egg coloring kit sort of things into the thing and to see if it changed color, and that would indicate whether my blood sugar was low or high, and that's remedial, primordial, and kind of gross. So I'm grateful that I can use a glucose meter. I'm grateful that not only do I have access to a glucose meter, which gives me precise and accurate results. But now I can pair that with a continuous glucose monitor to see those glucose finger sticks in the context of my actual blood sugar. So I'm looking at, I mean, Corey compared it to a GPS. I usually compare it to like a snapshot of a still photo versus streaming video. You really see these numbers in context. To take all of that data and then pair that with my insulin pump data, it sounds like so much to manage, but it really becomes less to manage because everything that I need is in one place. I don't have to remember extra stuff. I don't have to do extra steps. The tool that I use to manage my diabetes is primarily located clipped to my hip, and it's always there. So remembering syringes and insulin vials, that kind of streamlines my day-to-day. And as a person who I will spend a lot of time just sitting around, like it's useful to be able to just get up and go and do things instead of having to always add that, oh, but your diabetes caveat to things. I like sort of peeling that back and actually existing. Sounds kind of esoteric, but you know where I'm coming from.
Yeah, I do. And I think that it's interesting because I know you're busy with family and all those things. And so being able to just get up and go is so important to the spontaneity of family life.
Mm-hmm. Or just not even family life, just like life.
Life.
Yeah.
So, Dr. Corey, when this device is available, or I'm assuming it's available now, where can people find more information about it and some of the features that might be available for them?
Yeah, so the Animas Vibe system is currently available, and the best way to find out about that specific device is to go to animas.com. It's also helpful to go to the Internet and look at all the different devices and technologies and try and understand from your own perspective and your own preferences, what might fit you best. And so I think that going then to your diabetes care provider, and many times, as I mentioned, it's going to be a nurse or certified diabetes educator, talking to them about what you're interested in and what you want to do and feeling like you're entitled to have that as an option. Those are the best steps. But to go in as an informed user of these products is the best way to approach it.
And I guess nurses, as we already said, are often the primary diabetes educators out there, can go and find the similar resources themselves, because with the technology changing so frequently, it must be difficult to keep up with what's new and innovative and what's on the next cutting edge out there.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right, and it's a challenge. I mean, these clinicians are in busy diabetes centers, busy practices, they're concerned and many times care deeply about their patients and wanting them to do well. And it is hard to carve out the time to find out about all these new devices and technologies. So going online is obviously a great resource. Trying to attend different diabetes expos, looking at the different resources at organizations like the American Diabetes Association and JDRF, all of those, and Children with Diabetes, all of those are great resources for nurses to check out.
Well, it's great to have you both here on the Nursing Show. And Carrie, it's fantastic to talk with you again in person. We'll have to do this more frequently than wait every 4 or 5 years.
Anything you need, Jamie, it's always a pleasure.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That's going to close out this week's episode of The Nursing Show. I want to thank all of you for checking out the program this week. Make sure you follow up, though, on all of the information you picked up in this episode. Head over to nursingshow.com and check out the episode show notes. There's a link right there at the top of the page. In there are listings for all of the episodes of The Nursing Show. From the most recent one at the top, you can scroll down and go all the way back to the very first episode. But I want you to get the full information there with links to other resources so that you understand how to apply what you hear on the show to your own nursing practice or studies. If you want to get back in touch with me, shoot me an email. You can send that in to nursingshow@gmail.com. I respond back to every email that comes in, and I want to hear from you. So send me your comments, your questions, suggestions, news links. Help support the Nursing Show community with your input. You can also get the Nursing Show email newsletter. There's a link and form right on the right-hand side of the Nursing Show site. So fill out that short form and we'll send you the links to each episode's show notes directly to your email inbox each week. You can also connect with me on social media sites. I'm available there under the handle PodMedic. So you can find me there under twitter.com/PodMedic and facebook.com/PodMedic. So friend or follow me. You can also become a member of the community over on Facebook by liking the Nursing Show Facebook page at facebook.com/nursingshow. Click the like button there and join the conversation on that page. I post other nursing and healthcare articles and pictures on the Nursing Show site throughout the course of each week and over at the Nursing Show page, so check it all out. That's it for me. I'm your host, Jamie Davis. I'll be back with more episodes here of The Nursing Show. Remember, it comes out every Friday for you, so you can wrap up your nursing week. In the meantime, please remember to stay safe and stay tuned here to The Nursing Show.